We're in the fifth and final message of a series we've been doing on faith, not fear. In the first week, we started out talking about staring down our giants. We talked about how there's often this tug of war between moving forward with faith or retreating in fear. And as a backdrop, we looked at this passage from the Old Testament book of Numbers and how the people of Israel were afraid of the giants that kept them from claiming the land that God had promised. And in the second week, we looked at how anxieties are like a meteor shower of what-ifs, and how anxiety causes us to live with this constant fear of what could happen. And we looked at several passages of Scripture that remind us not to live in fear, but to embrace and even celebrate tough times, knowing that God's with us, even in our dark times. In the third week, we looked at how failure is never final, and that while we all fail at times, God has the ability to redeem our failures and use them for his purposes. And then last week, Pastor Allen spoke on this biblical idea of future hope and hope in the fullness of time. And now today, I want to close out this series with this idea of storms and how sometimes we have these struggles, these storms in our lives that threaten to pull us under, many of them of our own making. Yet how God can use these struggles and storms to strengthen our faith and to draw us closer. Now, our scripture reading for today is out of the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And it's the second part of this dialogue that's going on between the people of Israel and God through the prophet Isaiah. And in the first part of this dialogue, which starts in chapter 42, the Lord is upset and very angry at the people of Israel for ignoring him and making some really bad decisions, which led them to their exile. The second part, which is our text for today, is about God's love for the people of Israel. Even though they ignored God's commandments and are suffering, that God still offers them redemption. From Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 5, we read this. Israel, the Lord who created you says, "Do not be afraid. I will save you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through fire, you will not be burned. The hard trials that come will not hurt you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel, who saves you. I will give up Egypt to set you free. I will give up Ethiopia and Seba. I will give up whole nations to save your life. Because you are precious to me, and because I love you and give you honor, do not be afraid. I am with you." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us through these words of faith and through the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, this past week, I had a chance to travel out to Boulder, Colorado, to visit my daughter, who was beginning her doctoral studies there. And we were able to do some hiking up in the mountains. And I also did some hiking up in the mountains with my college roommate who lives out in that area. And during the time I was on the plane and while waiting in airports, I had an opportunity to reread a biography on the life of Robert Reardon. Dr. Reardon served as president of Anderson University in Indiana for 25 years. And he was the president when I was a student there in the late 70s. He is, to this day, one of the most inspiring people I've ever met. He was both wise and funny, scholarly, yet he just had this amazing way of relating to students and just about everybody. He was just very real, and his faith was very real. But one of the things that you learn when you read his book is just how hard at times his life was leading this institution. There were many storms that he had to navigate during his 25-year tenure. And like all humans, he made his fair share of mistakes. He was a graduate of Oberlin College in Ohio, so he brought with him this passion for social justice, which many times got him in hot water, especially during the Civil Rights Movement and Vietnam, where he took an early stance against the war. In addition to this ongoing struggle of finding balance between academic freedom and commitment to the Christian faith. But he made it look easy, at least for us students. But when you read the book, you know it wasn't. And his book is entitled Staying the Course, which is exactly what he did, despite the winds and the waves and the storms that came with being a university president for 25 years. And as I reread that book, I got thinking, what if someone wrote a biography about me? Boring, I know. But let's come at that a different way. What if somebody wrote a biography about you? What would the title be? What would be the highlights? What would be the storms? What would be the overarching storyline of your life? Think about that for a moment. And as you think about it, I want you to remember there are chapters yet to write, I hope. As long as you are living and breathing, there are things yet to do, challenges yet to be overcome, opportunities to make a difference. And one of the reasons that I like reading biographies so much is because we see that everyone faces storms. Everyone faces turbulent times. And it's not a question of if, but of when and how you are going to navigate those storms when they come. With faith or with fear. In our scripture reading for today, we find the Israelites far from home, far from the holy temple, their center of life. They were defeated, they were demoralized, they were depressed. And as I mentioned earlier, there's this tug of war that was a war of wills going on between God and the people of Israel. God, after all, took a wandering Aramean and made of him a great nation, a chosen people in order to redeem people everywhere. But boy, were they stubborn. Just listen to a few select verses from chapter 42. The Lord says, "Listen, you deaf people. Look closely, you that are blind. Is anyone more blind than my servant, more deaf than the messenger I send? Israel, you've seen so much, but what has it meant to you? You have ears to hear with, but what have you really heard?" The Lord is a God who is eager to save. So he exalted his laws and his teachings, and he wanted his people to honor them. But now his people have been plundered. They're locked up in dungeons and hidden away in prisons. They were robbed and plundered with no one to come to their rescue. Will any of you listen to this? From now on, will you listen and care? Who gave Israel up to the looters? It was the Lord himself, against whom we sinned. We would not live as he wanted us to live or obey the teachings he gave us. Here are some cliff notes to that passage. God is ticked off at the people of Israel, at this group of people he created from scratch. God has done so much for them, but they somehow seem to have forgotten. God gave them guidelines to live by, and they thumbed their nose at them and did things their own way. And now they're paying a huge price. They have been defeated and plundered, and they're up a creek without a paddle. And here's a very interesting thing in that passage that we just read. Who gave Israel up to the looters? It was the Lord himself, against whom we sinned. In other words, God allowed them to suffer. God did not cause them to be overrun by their enemies, but God allowed it to happen. You violate the laws that are part of the created order, you pay a price. You just do. You spit in the wind, and what do you think is going to happen? The storms we face are often the storms of our own making. And while God may not rescue us from the storm, God at the same time will not abandon us. Old Testament scholar John Oswald put it this way. What this means is that if there is adversity in my life, it's not there in defiance of God's control. Did you hear that? If there's adversity in my life, it's not there in defiance of God's control. God has allowed it. Then Oswald uses this illustration. God has made a world of cause and effect. In other words, God does not directly cause everything that happens. If I slip and put my finger in front of a moving saw blade, God does not cause me to slip. And God certainly does not cause the saw to cut off my finger, but God certainly permits the saw to cut my finger in keeping with the ways in which the world was made. Simply put, bad things happen. Sometimes the bad things are the result of our own neglect and our own ignorance and our own pride, and sometimes we are just the victims of a series of unfortunate events that we did not cause and have no control over. But here's the part I really want you to take with you today. God is present in those storms, no matter where they come from. And God has the ability to use those storms to teach us and to bring us redemption and healing and hope, no matter what storms we face. In our scripture reading for today, Isaiah was speaking for God, and he says, Israel, the Lord who created you, says, don't be afraid. I will save you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the deep waters, I'll be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. Isaiah was saying, in essence, do not forget who you are. No matter how bad you've messed up, you still belong to God. God will never abandon you. Never, ever, ever. You know, sometimes when we find ourselves in life's storms, it's easy to panic and to forget who we really are. God's beloved children. And when storms hit, we need to stop and be still and know that God is present in the moment. God may not spare us from the storm, but God is with us in those deep waters. I love the 46th Psalm. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Almighty God is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. When storms come, sometimes the first thing we do is panic. And we let anxiety take control, which usually makes things much worse. Instead of first being still, instead of taking the time to listen for God's still and small voice, instead of finding God in the storm. Our thought for today, which is printed in your bulletin, I think is just an excellent one. It's worthy of your shaving mirror, your refrigerator magnet. It's from a Christian author by the name of Danny DuBois. And he writes this: there are some things we learn on stormy seas that we will never learn on calm, smooth waters. We don't look for storms, but they will surely find us. The God of the storm has something to teach us. And his love always drives his actions. Before we close the message today, I want to go back to this idea of biography. And again, I ask, if someone were to write a book on your life, what would the title be? What would the high points be? What would the storms be? What were the times you felt overwhelmed and afraid? And my guess is that God has found a way to use those painful times to strengthen you and give you faith that can withstand whatever comes your way, knowing that God is in the storm. In a few minutes, we as a community are going to be observing communion. And in this observance, we think about and remember God's presence. That through Christ's death and resurrection, God has given us the promise of his grace and his love that's with us no matter what. On the mountaintops, in the valleys, in the sunshine, in the storms, God is with us. Let us pray. Lord, we sometimes think that following you should be easy. Help us to understand it's not. Help us to find you in not only in the sunshine, but in the storms. And help that to draw closer to you. Help us to remember your love as we break bread, as we drink from the cup, to know that you are with us. Always. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.